my mom said, you know, do something to make a living, as any parent would probably do. You know, you study music and you just treat music as a hobby. So I actually played violin and did a lot of music all the way through my college days, and also when I was a lawyer, I played violin in the London Lawyers Orchestra. And I did that also when I was practicing in Hong Kong. And the conducting came one evening when I was at a rehearsal with a community orchestra, and the conductor didn't show up. His wife's baby was due that evening, so
Understandable.
very understandable. And so the chairman of the orchestra said, "Well, could somebody do this rehearsal?" And I put up my hand, and I did it, and never really looked back. That was my first conducting experience, and and then after a little while, I was still practicing law, but I was conducting quite a lot of, you know, these community groups, and I decided, well, maybe I should learn how to do this properly. So I went online and Googled conducting lessons, and these conducting workshops came up, and they're held in Eastern Europe. So I picked a couple. In the summer, I took my annual leave. Vacation and went and conducted orchestras and studied with teachers. And one of these teachers was the late Gustav Meyer, who taught at Tanglewood for 20 years. And I studied with him that summer. And at the end, I said, "Mr. Meyer, I really want to get better as a conductor. What should I do?" And he looked at me and said, "Well, why don't you come to Peabody?" And that was the Peabody
Big name.
Conservatory.
When did you realize, or when did he tell you, or both, that you had the ear for it, that you could hear clearly enough to make sense out of the full orchestral sound?
Oh gosh, I still don't know whether one has it or not, right? Because as with everything, you kind of continue to grow and you continue to get better. I certainly love what I do. And I think, you know, when you have a good job like practicing law, but when you love something so much that it's sort of like it comes back to find you. And when it did, I was glad that I gave up the law. And initially, I really just wanted to do music for a year and see how it goes. I was taking a break from my career, and I thought, well, I take a semester off, or, you know, I take a year out, and I can always go back. So, you know, 10 years later, I'm still doing it, and
Are there parallels in habits of mind among music, law,
Oh,
economics?
absolutely, absolutely. There are a number of. I think the most important one, I can talk about a lot here, but the most important one is that when you are out there in the commercial world and practicing law and doing business transactions, you deal with an awful lot of people. You deal with some very difficult clients too. You learn to present yourself. You learn to negotiate. You learn to make a case, as the lawyers would do. All of that actually is very applicable to a conductor, because what is a conductor? Our instrument are 80 human beings. You know, we it's not a violin where you can just take into a room and practice. We have to somehow motivate 80 people. Make a case for our vision of the music and hopefully understand what they feel, just like any manager or leader would do. You know, you're trying to convince them to go with you. And so I think the law really, and also the great thing about law is it puts music not in a vacuum. It puts music in the context of the world we live in. And that's really important to me too.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Ken Lamb, music director of the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. You mentioned Gustav Meyer. You also studied with David Zinman and Leonard Slatkin. Styles of conducting range from the famous eyebrows only to a fairly dynamic use of arms and the whole body. What's your personality as a conductor?
I think in the best scenarios, I think conducting is not a very good word, because conducting sort of implies you're conducting at something. But what you really want to be is you want to become the music. You want to, if you are conducting a Beethoven symphony, you want it to really represent that symphony so much so that everyone around you will sense that how this is what the music should be. and then they will play accordingly. Now, there are of course techniques of conducting. You know, this is a four pattern, this is a three pattern, but I think that to get beyond that, you know, the essence of conducting is really how can you communicate your vision. I mean, I talk about this a lot, but as a conductor, you are the only person on stage who is not actually making a single sound. I mean, you are, so I can't even talk, I can't even tell people what I feel like, but I have to use my face, my hands, and my baton to act it all out and be convincing about it. And so I think there's a place for raising an eyebrow and doing nothing else. There's a place for being really animated too, is whatever the music calls for.
Your influences, of course, are varied and international. You've had a lot of experience in choral work and even some opera, some chamber work. Being schooled in Britain, I would expect you to have some fondness for the British pastoralists, and yet you've also programmed some things that have gotten some critical acclaim for your interpretations of Viennese work. So how do you describe your musical personality?
Wow. Well, that's a big one, isn't it? Because if you look at my background, you know, growing up in Hong Kong, which is not really in the Western classical tradition. Well, we do, because Hong Kong was a British colony for many, many years. So we do get raised that way. But there are all sorts of other influences too, and studying England and now having worked in the States for a long time. I think my answer to your question is this. What is left from composers are the scores. We can study history, we can study what Beethoven's ate for dinner on a particular day, but really what's left is the notes. And whenever we look at the notes and really think how a piece should sound like, we can't help but add to that our own imagination and our own history and upbringing to it. So I think what's important is not so much whether I like Beethoven or Mahler or Debussy. I think what's important is that when somebody with my background, with my personality, sees those notes, do I have something to say about them? And I think that's why conducting and it's so interesting, because every conductor brings something different to the table. And I think the notes are the same, but you have different conductors, you have 10 conductors, 10 different interpretations. And I think that's what's amazing about it. And you know, people say, well, you know, you're American, so we can't play Russian music like the Russians. No, actually, I'm not sure I'm too interested to play Tchaikovsky like how Tchaikovsky, people at Tchaikovsky's time would play it. I'm interested in how our musicians and myself, having our collective experiences, how we look at the piece. So that's a very interesting question. And I think that's probably what I would say.